I'm really glad to have this opportunity to see you all, and to, even though it's digital, this is pretty good actually. It's the first time I'm doing an online video sermon, so I'm able to do new things in your church. The first audio sermon as well was the first time for me too. So thank you for this opportunity. As I said, the previous time I was able to only send an audio recording, but today I'm very pleased and glad to be able to meet you. And actually, my wife is also one of the participants, and she's somewhere there. Her name is Bime Chase. So there you go. We're happy to be here with you. And I've had the chance of meeting some of you already in the past few months back, I think. And I trust that everybody is doing well, keeping well over the past few months. And I'm not sure if it's a thing for you, but back in India, and I think in the States, it seems to be Mother's Day today. And so I want to wish all the mothers happy Mother's Day, blessed Mother's Day too. And I pray and bless you in the name of Jesus, and may you have peace and strength and all the best that God has to give to you. So let me just go straight into the text that we have for today. The text has been set aside for us from Acts chapter 2, verse 42 to 47. Acts chapter 2, verse 42 to 47. If you're able to, you can follow me in your Bible or text or screen, or otherwise just listen in as I read from Acts chapter 2, verse 42 to 47. The fellowship of the believers. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. So that's from Acts chapter 2, verse 42 to 47. And I'm aware that as a church, you have just begun a series in the book of Acts. And I think you've had one or two sermons previously from the book of Acts. And if you put this particular text in context, you know that it comes immediately after the event of the Pentecost, right? The crazy things that happened on the day of Pentecost, the tongues of fire falling on the heads of the believers and speaking in tongues and all that stuff. And so it might be helpful for us to think about this particular story as a continuation of that event, the string of events. And so in a way, I would like to pose this story of a community as some kind of a consequence of the Holy Spirit's indwelling. So the Holy Spirit came in the hearts of people, and this is kind of what happened as a consequence of that, as sort of an evidence of the coming of the Holy Spirit. And so we, in the beginning part of Acts chapter 2, we see the day of Pentecost, the more visceral and more dramatic things that happened as a consequence of the coming of the Holy Spirit, like tongues of fire coming on top of the believers, as I mentioned. Then they started speaking in tongues. And this is quite dramatic stuff. And they were speaking in language that there's no way that they would know. And so to the point that the people who were there in Jerusalem, they were shocked to hear their language being spoken. I would be shocked if I hear somebody in the bus talking in my native language, for example. I guess that's the kind of visceral reaction that they got. And this came as an evidence of the Holy Spirit's indwelling in the believers. And then if you go on in chapter 2, where Peter stands up and he preached to the people, and the people were cut to the heart, and they, you know, they in flocked in thousands, they turned their hearts to God. And so even that can be seen as the evidence of the Holy Spirit working and turning their hearts to Jesus. And now in this particular story, the story of the community, we might see this as the evidence of the Holy Spirit in the community, in how the hearts were being transformed so that their lives changed in such a way that they began to do things that were completely unexpected and radically different from the way that they lived.
So the question that I would like to ask today for our brief reflection is, what does it mean to be a community of the Holy Spirit? What does it mean to be a community of the Holy Spirit today and learning from Acts chapter 2? And I think this question is pretty relevant in today's time when we have a lockdown going on, when most of the things that we associate with fellowship, the modes of fellowshipping, the ways of fellowshipping, all those are pretty much not possible, and we are left in isolation. Like this is our clusters of our own family, or some of us might even have to be by yourself completely. And when we are in this kind of situation, what does it mean to be a fellowship of believers? What does it mean to continue to be a community of the Holy Spirit that can manifest the work of the Holy Spirit? So that's the summary question that I would like to explore today. The first thing that we need to note is that this text is descriptive and not prescriptive. It's not so much about what this text is not telling us so much what to do, but it's just describing what happened when the Holy Spirit came on and indwelled the people. I say this because we could read these texts, we could read this kind of stories and, feel terrible about ourselves or beat ourselves because we are not able to live like this. I mean, this is the John Lennon imagine-ish kind of community that the kind of thing that we like to stay from a distance and, appreciate but feel nervous about because this is tough calling. But I think we need to look at this not so much as this as a prescription for our own ways, but a description. And what we can take away for us in this text is that I think I suggest that we try to understand the values that are embodied in this description. So not so much exact things to do, but the values that are embodied in this community, the things that they were doing. What kind of values are they embodying and manifesting? And if we look closely at this text from that perspective, I would suggest that there are at least four values that this community seems to embody, and this community seems to devote themselves to. In verse 42, it's written, "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers." So here we have got four descriptions: the apostles' teaching, the fellowship, the breaking of bread, and the prayers. I think we can draw four values at least from this particular verse itself. And the important thing for us to note is that Luke records for us, the writer of the book of Acts, and Luke is the Dr. Luke, and he reports that they devoted themselves. I think that's an important key thing that's put there. I think it means that they were intentional about pursuing these values because these are not things that you just go into by the way, something that happened just automatically, but it's something that we need to devote ourselves to, something that the disciples were intentionally pursuing in their life. And so that's something for us to keep in mind as we consider these values. So the four values that I would like to highlight for today's brief meditation, they devoted themselves firstly to the apostles' teaching. By apostles' teaching, I think that it refers to the teachings about Christ and teachings of Christ. Now, if you put this in context, you realize that this was immediately following the events of Christ's life, like the crucifixion, the resurrection, the him ascending to heaven, and all that stuff that happened. Just a few days after all those events, what it means is that these kind of memories are still fresh in the mind of the disciples, and it's kind of like hot from the oven, like freshly baked kind of stories that the disciples were like lividly telling. And the disciples were no longer shy and scared people at this point. They have seen Jesus resurrected. They have experienced the Holy Spirit. They are bold now. They were creative in their story, in their preaching. And I imagine that this must be quite an exciting time for the church because the disciples must be telling them all these stories about what Jesus did, what Jesus said, how he reacted. I mean, I would imagine that that must be quite an exciting time for the disciples and also for the listeners. Now, the apostles were teaching, and the goal of this teaching, the goal of this exercise is to know Jesus, so that we don't, it's not just for intellectual gathering of information, but this goal of apostles' teaching was that they would know Jesus and they would be fully convinced that Jesus is the Lord, the Messiah, just as we see in Peter's sermon. And the end goal, again, of knowing Jesus and believing in Jesus is so that we can be like him, so that we can follow him. I always think of it in terms and similar to swimming and cycling. Many years back, I was obsessed about swimming, and I would go to on YouTube and just see the lessons about how to swim, you know, this angle and swing your arm this way and turn your face up this way and like the theories of swimming. But I realized that unless I actually go into the water and put all this into practice, you can watch like thousands of YouTube videos, but it doesn't really help, because you have to practice it up. In the same way that cycling also needs to be practiced in order to actually know what is cycling, what is swimming. I think in the same way, knowing Jesus also comes as we practice, as we put into practice, as we obey him. We could know about him, but it's completely different to knowing him and following him and obeying him. So that's the first value that is embodied in the community of the Holy Spirit, that they were seeking Jesus through the teachings, through the word, through conversations, but also through their actions and life and their thought and all, so on and so forth. So the first value, they were seeking Jesus through the apostles' teaching. Second value, fellowship. Now, fellowship is a power-packed kind of word in the Greek. Not that I'm an expert in Greek, but in the Greek it's called koinonia, the community. And essentially, I think what that means is that the community of the Holy Spirit is oriented towards the other, oriented towards one another. Let me just try to elaborate what I mean by that. When the Holy Spirit came and indwelt on the people, it's not so much that we believers can be hermits and isolated and living for our own concerns and living for concerns of the immediate needs, but it's the Holy Spirit comes and empowers us so that we can be a blessing to others. And we see that in the way that people were sharing their property. They were selflessly selling their possessions so that they can give to the poor, those who are in need. There's a real sense of community going on in this particular group of people. And as I was thinking about this, I realized that many times we often think of the Holy Spirit and often think of the benefits of the Holy Spirit, if I may put it that way, the blessings of the Holy Spirit in terms of how it affects me, right? That's how I felt many times, in terms of how it strengthens me, in terms of how it comforts me and empowers me and helps me and all of that. But I think it would be more in keeping with God's heart to think of the power of the Holy Spirit in terms of how it affects others through me, how it helps others through me, how it blesses others through me, rather than thinking about how it benefits me. And I think, like I said, it's more in keeping with the way God works, seems to work in the stories of the Bible. Just a small example, when Isaiah prophesied about the coming of Jesus, the classic text that we read in during the Christmas season is, it says, "For unto us a child is born." I mean, that sentence itself tells us that the birth of Jesus is for us. You know, it's completely for others. Everything that he is for others. Everything that he does is for us and never for himself. And that seems to be the instinct of God, that he's always oriented towards the other, always thinking about others. And when the Holy Spirit came in and indwelt the believers in Acts chapter 2, that was the same instinct that they imbibed as the Holy Spirit worked in them, that suddenly they were concerned about others, thinking about others. And that seems to be the value that's embodied in this community through their fellowship. They were thinking for the needs of others and thinking about others, meeting the needs of others. So that's the second value. The third value embodied in the breaking of bread. It's most likely talking about the practice of eating together. The practice of just any time they get together, in the breaking of bread, they shared fellowship. Every time they sit together and eat together, there's something beautiful that's going on. And I think what that means is that in many cultures, this might be relevant, and in your culture too, definitely in my culture, eating together is a sign of something, a sign of belonging. Eating together is not just about consuming, because I remember my dad used to scold me for eating by myself, because he used to say, like, eating together is not just about eating together. Eating, just the consuming. Eating together is about belonging in a community, belonging in a family. When you eat together, you are saying that this folks I'm eating, hanging out is, these are my gang, so to say, my family. And I relate with them, I identify with them. In movies, for example, when a group of friends or families eating together and somebody slams on the table and gets up and walk away, the implication is that he cannot relate with them anymore. He gets up, he cannot eat with them. And I think that's the idea that's communicated here. By eating together, they were identifying with one another. They were saying that these are my friends. We have differences, we have opinions that compete with one another, but still we are a community. Also, I think there's something also interesting going on in this eating together. We know that eating together is such an ordinary thing. It's just a common thing, something that we do every day. And yet here, eating together is described as a part of manifestation of God's work. And I think that also talks about how with the coming of the Holy Spirit, there's no such thing as ordinary. There's no such thing as mundane and normal and common, as though church things are more important and eating together is not so important for God's work. I think that has been removed. And when the Holy Spirit comes and indwells the people, everything becomes meaningful. Everything becomes the platform where God can work. And God's Spirit can be manifested. And so eating together, breaking of bread becomes a platform, an avenue where God's work can be manifested. I think that's a crazy and wonderful way in which the Holy Spirit permeates every part of our life and makes meaning in every normal, small, big thing that we do. And that's why Paul says, whether you eat or drink, do it all for the glory of God. Because the Holy Spirit's manifestation is not just in the special and spiritual things, but in all things. And the fourth value that's embodied in this community is, of course, prayer. Prayer has to do with desire for God. It has to do with communion with God. It's broadly talking about some kind of a consciousness and a dependence on something beyond this world, something that's beyond money or relationships or families or friends or degrees or books or intellect, dependence on something that's beyond all of this. And dependence on God, who is a higher being, a God who made himself known to us as a friend. Prayer has to do with a heart that is connected with God. I think many of you would know the story of Mary and Martha. Mary, when Jesus visited them, Martha was anxious, the Bible says. She was anxious about many things. This concern and that concern and this concern and that concern. And rightfully so, she was concerned about many things, multiplicity of intentions and goals. But Mary, Jesus said, Mary had chosen the good thing, and that will not be taken from her. She decided to fix her eyes on Jesus, physically, literally. But there's a lesson for us too. And so prayer has to do with orienting ourselves and sitting at the feet of God, listening to him, orienting our hearts in the right direction, in the way that he wants us to think. And in the direction that he wants us to orient ourselves to. One heart with God's will. And so here are, I think, our four values that we have just quickly skimmed through. Four values that are embodied when the Holy Spirit lives in us. Seeking Jesus. Community. Communion with others. Other-orientedness. Community with others and communion with God. And we remember that the disciples were in devoting themselves to these four values. And I would leave that with us as well. Like as we live in today's world, I think these are four values that are still meaningful for us. And so obviously today, events and scenarios are completely different. They have changed, and especially during the lockdown. But I do think that these values are still relevant. These values have not changed. And even though we miss those days, you know, like literally last night I was dreaming of how I was dreaming of a worship practice that we used to have back in India, and we miss those days. We miss those kind of fellowship. And yet we must not forget that even in this situation that we have, there are opportunities to practice these values that we have just considered. Church and God's community is not defunct. The community of the Holy Spirit is not out of order. the Holy Spirit continues to move among us and in us, and we must continue to pursue His will and His value and His leading in our lives. So I would like to just close with a word of blessing. May God give all of us peace and strength as we devote ourselves to know Jesus, to live in this other-oriented life, other-oriented focus, as we devote ourselves to communion with others and to communion with God. Thank you for this opportunity to share together God's word. May God bless all of us.